say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain. For lo, the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple, the Lord strong is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. I hear, used to hear him sing that thing. I went into a church one time, and the choir got up. It's time to start the service. The Lord is in his holy temple. And he wasn't anywhere around there. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hates. Boy, that's something. You go through problems and trials and heartaches and sorrows, that's because God loves you. Yeah. And that's because you're righteous. That doesn't mean now, and I know what the Old Testament meanings are and everything, but that doesn't mean that you're sinless. It just means you're in Jesus Christ and you're righteous in him. And so the Lord has to try it because the trying of your faith is much more precious than that of gold. And the Lord told you in Revelation 3, because you're just so backslidden and lukewarm and Laodicean, he said, I counsel thee, buy of me gold tried in the fire. And so the Lord tries you because he loves you. And 1 Peter 4, Peter said, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try some of you. And if you had stayed in your Bible and read your Bible like you're supposed to, then you wouldn't think it strange when you went through trial, because the Lord said way back in the Old Testament, he tried the righteous. But the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. I don't do much for them except send them to hell. Most of their problems is not the Lord trying, it's just sin. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire, and brimstone, and an horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. I believe that's what the Lord took on the cross for me. Right there. He said, be pompous, let this cup pass from me. When you study the cup out, I believe that verse tells you a little bit about what happened to our Savior when he died for you. He took what belonged to you. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. Father, thank you tonight for the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you for saving our rotten soul. I thank you, Lord, for the privilege and opportunity to preach. Father, to preach you, this church, and these people. I pray you'd help me, Lord, to preach according to thy will and to please thee. Lord, I pray that you'll speak to hearts of Christians, all cold and hard-hearted. Some, Father, need comfort. Some need rebuke, exhorted, instructed. There might be one among us tonight, Lord, that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And I pray, Father, tonight, Lord, that you speak to their heart. Now use me, Lord, for thy honor and for thy glory. And may our Savior be praised. In his name I pray. Amen. I'll be seated. He said the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. I never can figure out this day and age that we live in why people think God would let everyone get away with all the stuff they're getting away with. They think they are. Because the Bible said he's the righteous Lord. And listen, if the Lord isn't righteous, then he's not God. And he's holy, and he's sinless, and he's righteous, and he does not love iniquity. He hates iniquity, but he loves righteousness.
Amen.
And he loves righteousness. And I don't understand why people don't ever get a hold of that. But even Christians, they always run around quoting this thing, we're under the law of liberty in Christ Jesus, and they use that as a license to do what they want to do.
Yeah.
And I believe we're under the law of liberty. I kind of believe like Wesley. Wesley said we're under the liberty to be from the bondage of sin. And he said we're under liberty to do what God tells us to do, and we have liberty to be what God wants us to be, and we have liberty to suffer for the Lord according to the Word of God. And I like that, and I really believe that. We don't have liberty to live like we want to live. You say, well, you can't. I know that. I know you can live like you want to live. Well, that's not what that liberty is talking about. Over in Galatians 5, he said, you got liberty, but he said, don't use it for an occasion for the flesh. You have to use it so you can live according to your wants and your wishes and your likes and dislikes. What that is you have liberty to live like God wants you to live. And before that, you didn't have liberty to do that. You were in bondage to sin. You couldn't do it. But I want you to look up at verse 3. In verse 3, the Lord said, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And you read there in verse 2 where the wicked are privily shooting at the upright in heart. That means they're not doing it out in the open. Of course, they are more and more, but what that means is before they can destroy the foundation of the righteous, they got to do it kind of privately and underhandedly, and that's what happens in this day and age. Now, I went to hear a preacher last night, and the preacher got up and he said the Supreme Court is responsible. I got the exact quote somewhere, but anyway, he laid all the blame on the Supreme Court. He said the Supreme Court has done more damage to this land than any other group of people. And, of course, I don't agree with that. I think that's wrong. I think they're pretty bad, all them men and that one woman. I think they're all bad, you know. I don't think they do much good. But I don't believe they're the biggest group responsible for all the hellishness in this country. I think, really, the largest group responsible would be God's people. They're the ones that have done more damage to this country than anything else by the way they live. Now, there are some foundations that God's people are built upon. And the devil shoots, privately shoots at the upright in heart, and he tries to destroy the foundations. And if the foundations are destroyed, the righteous can do nothing. Now you know what the first point is going to be. Anybody come to this church would know the foundation, what the basic foundation is that they're trying to destroy, and that is the Word of God. Paul wrote, and Paul said in 2 Corinthians 2:17, said, we are not of many which corrupt the Word of God, handle it deceitfully. And I think they even change that verse, don't they? I believe they change that verse to talk about peddling the Word of God, or there's another word they use a lot. And they go in and change that. And Paul wrote in Colossians 2:8, and he said, beware of philosophies. Let no man deceive you through philosophies or vain deceit. Why? I tell you why. Because that's a foundation. Our foundation tonight is built upon the Word of God. It's built on the King James Bible. And I don't really got to preach that to you all. And I don't want to tickle any ears tonight. Because you know that, and you know that's a foundation, and you know that they're trying to destroy it. And I believe maybe one day in this country they will be successful in maybe getting rid of this Bible in this country. Now, I got me a big old Bible in there, and if I don't get busy on that thing, they're probably going to take it before I get any notes in it. And I'll tell you something tonight, people, they're going to take it away, and that's a foundation. Now, let me tell you something. They may be able to take the written Word of God out of my eyesight. But I'll tell you what, if I obey God and I have that word in my heart, they can never take it out of my heart unless they take my heart.
Amen.
That's why God said, I'm going to tell you something else. It isn't the wicked's fault they're trying to destroy the Word of God. It's the righteous fault because they've not been diligent in keeping the Word of God.
Amen.
They should have been. Come along, people, and you get in this country, and people, they're all over this country now. The battle lines are drawn, and people say, I believe the King James Bible. Some of them don't, and some of them do. Say, I believe it and everything. But I'm going to tell you something tonight, people. It doesn't matter how much you believe it, and it doesn't matter how long you stand upon it. But what makes the difference is how long you sit down with it and get it inside. That's the foundation.
Amen.
The Bible said, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. David said, Lord, order my steps in thy word. People always talking about, I don't know what God wants me to do. I don't know what the will of God is for my life. And I'm going to tell you something right now. They don't obey the book they have and do what they know to do. How they ever expect God to ever tell them anything else?
Amen.
So I don't know what is the will of God. Listen, if you obeyed what he said was his will, you know what he said one thing was? He said, in everything give thanks. He didn't say for everything, but he said in everything. In everything, give thanks. Why? For this is the will of God. You know what the will of God for your life is? Thank him for everything that happens. And while you're in it, just say, well, praise the Lord. Thank God.
Amen.
I don't understand that. Understand, Lord, why you bummed up my car and blame it on God if you're bad driving. I don't understand, Lord. He said, how come my car won't run and can't get nowhere? Now you took away my car and I lost my job. And I ain't got no help. They got this, they got that. You know what God said to do? He said, just sit there and say, praise the Lord.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Well, that's hard to do, isn't it?
Yes.
That'd be hard to do. You woke up in the morning, you didn't have no job, didn't have no car. Wife left you, no kids, and no food. Just get up and say, well. Of course, some of you lost your wife, you might feel like praising God, but just get up and say, well, praise the Lord.
Yes.
Boy, in everything give thanks. Now the Word of God, let me tell you something, is one. Word of God happens to be one of the foundations in our lives. It's not enough to believe it. One day you're not going to have it sitting in front of your face. You better hit that thing in your heart. I read over there, and I don't remember where I read. Let me see if I can find it. Maybe I can find it real quick for you. But I sure remember reading that thing back in Psalm. Again, I'm probably not going to be able to find it. I thought I made a note by it, but I guess I did. In Psalm 31:5, it said, into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. He's the God of truth.
Amen.
Now, if there's one way that I know these birds run around changing the Bible, don't know the God I know, or at least they don't know much about their God, is the fact that he's not the God of a translation that even they will say has mistakes in it.
Yes.
I mean, I'm not talking about the King James. Every convicting translation they use, they'll tell you there's mistakes in it.
Yes.
Well, then they're not from God, because he's the God of truth. He's not the God of a lie. There must be one around, and that's why I believe that Bible's the Word of God. The Bible said they eat and tell self teacher, have an itching ear. And what you need to know is not what the teacher says, but what the Word of God says. They raise questions as to the authority. People say, I guess I talked to Brother Miller last week. Brother Miller said had a lady in his house, and he talked to her about being submissive to her husband, obedient. And he said he laid the Bible out there and showed the Bible to her and said her dad had been an Assembly of God preacher 30 years. She got on the phone and she went in there, called her daddy, come back all mad and said, my daddy's been a preacher 30 years. And he said, that's not right. And Brother Miller said, I laid the Bible there and I said, look. He said, I didn't say it. I said, God said it. Now you're going to believe what God said or what your daddy said. And that's the way you're going to have to be. Not only people that destroy the Word of God, but Bible-believing Christians who do not accept the authority of the Word of God and what it says in their life, they're guilty of the foundation being destroyed in their life, and that's the devil shooting privately at you to get you away from the Word of God.
Yes.
This country's in a mess because it's left the authority of the Word of God. All the time people are interested in what so-and-so says and what you think and what they think, and I'm going to tell you need to be interested in what thus saith the Lord is, what does God say, and what does God think, that the foundations are destroyed. And I'll tell you about this thing, people, I've seen Bible-believing Christians getting mixed up in books and radio preachers, and people don't even believe the Word of God, and you can get some good from them, I understand that, but I've seen them getting mixed up in those people and reading them books and coming out with false doctrines and false ideas about how to live a Christian life when the Bible plainly told them something. They said, yeah, but so-and-so explained it and said it was like this and like that, and the only problem is that so-and-so just trying to make an alibi for how they want to live.
Amen.
I'll tell you something, old devil shoots privately. There's a verse back there in Proverbs says that the prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Our country's in a mess because the foundation of the Word of God is being destroyed. Christians' lives are in a mess because they no longer go back and get in the old book and read the foundation that they need to be reading. And I'm going to tell you another foundation for the righteous, and that is a life of personal devotion to God. Now, I'm not going to talk about family altar tonight. I'm going to talk about your own time, your own personal time. I believe in family altar, but I don't want to talk about that. I want to talk tonight about your personal devotion with God. Listen, you need a strong foundation in the Bible, and you need a strong foundation in prayer to have a close walk with God. You say, why? Because you're going to go through trials and problems and heartaches and sorrows. You're going to begin to question. The old devil will come by and begin to throw questions in your mind, and you begin to wonder why. You're going to begin to ask, well, why is God doing this? And how come that happened to me? And why did so-and-so get by with this and I didn't get by with it? How come God gave somebody this and God didn't give me this? And you're going to listen, I'll tell you something. If you don't have a close relationship with your Heavenly Father, the foundation destroyed, you're not going to be able to do nothing when you get to trials and temptations. And when you need wisdom and understanding, you need a life of personal devotion. I don't understand how people can get up and start a day. I don't understand how you can even go 5 minutes without getting close to God. You say, well, I can't. I think you're just a seed. And I think if you're walking under your own power and in the power of the flesh, you don't even know it. I'm going to tell you something. The first thing you ought to do, hop out of that bed, man, is tell God good morning.
Amen.
Amen. First thing you ought to do, you get out of that bed, you ought to get down there and tell God, hello, God, I'm glad you woke me up today. I just want to serve you today, Father. I'm glad you're still there, Lord, and I'm glad I can walk with you today. And I'm going to tell you, there's going to be times when you're going to need that. There may come a time in this country, brethren, when the churches are closed down and the Christians are run off the streets and the Bible studies are run out of the homes and you're going to be persecuted and put in jail and all that kind of stuff. And I'll tell you something, you need to have a habit of getting up and saying hello to God, because you live in a wicked, old, vile, rotten old world, and you get up and try to live 5 minutes in this mess without God, you're going to make a mess of it. You say, well, only make 5 or 10 minutes of a mess. I know that's big enough for some of you get in a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
I bet it didn't take the devil 10 seconds to say, yea, have God said. Didn't take Eve about 10 or 15 seconds to talk with him either.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you something. You get up, you're talking to somebody, you get up.
Mm-hmm.
That mind's a-going. You get up, man, that mind's already thinking. I tell you, they're not planning nothing. They're not thinking about nothing. You just better get a hold of God. Bring God up and say, Lord, what is the program for today? What is it you want me to do today? Lord, I plan to do this, but Lord, I want to do what you want me to do. The foundation of a personal devotion, how much time you spend with God. That'll be time in the Bible, and that'll be time in prayer, time talking to God. I tell you what's wrong with people. They just sit around and don't have their own personal devotion. I don't know about all these devotional books. I can't figure them out sometimes. I'll tell you something. Sometimes I just sit down and I begin to read, and I just read and read, and I'll say, oh, Lord, I'm going to read to you. Give me something. And sometimes it's been a while since I read, so the Lord won't give me anything. So I'll read a whole bunch of chapters because he's afraid I'll quit reading if he gives me something. And then I keep reading. Amen. And I'll keep reading when he gives me something. Sometimes he don't give me nothing. I just keep going and going. Sometimes I get up and say, well, Lord, will he give me anything or not? Whether I get a blessing today, I'm just going to read the Bible. I'm just going to read. And then you just get down and talk to the Lord. I tell you something, we Christians, we try to make plans on our lives, what we're going to do and how we're going to live, where we're going to go and who we're going to see, when God don't want that done.
Yeah.
And we begin to live our lives according to our own wishes, according to our own will, not according to God's will.
Mm-hmm.
Tell you something, you walk close to God, you're going to live it like God wants it to live. And you need to do it. You say, why do I need to do that? Because, brethren, there are going to be trials and burdens in your life. You need to be in the habit of walking with God. And if you don't get in the habit of doing that, you know what'll happen to you? You get just sorry, and you get malice and bitterness, and you'll quit on God. You quit on Him. And I'm going to tell you something tonight. The foundation of the home. Foundation of the home. Bible said in Psalm 127:1, it said, except the Lord build the house, they build it, lay down, lay down. Except the Lord build the house. You know what it says about the men? Let me tell you what it says about the men. Well, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to tell you what it says about the women first, because God always starts with the women. God's a gentleman. It's always ladies first. So that's what we're going to do. Now I want you to turn with me to a little proverb in Ezekiel chapter 16. In Ezekiel chapter 16, there's this little proverb. The Lord's talking about Jerusalem's sin, and the Lord's talking about the iniquity and pride of Jerusalem. And in verse 44, he gives a little proverb, and that thing has been used for all times. Has that thing been given? Everybody been used. It's one of those everyday sayings people get out of the Bible, and nobody even knows it. And the context of Ezekiel 16:44 is rebellion against God. And you know what it says in verse 44? It says, "Behold, everyone that uses proverbs shall use this proverb against thee," talking about Jerusalem, saying, "As is the mother, so is her daughter." As is the mother, so is her daughter. You know what that Bible says? That says, like mother, like daughter. Like mother, like daughter. That's what it says. I've heard people say that all my life. Now turn to Titus chapter 2. Let me read you something there. So I want to give you these scriptures tonight. In Titus chapter 2. I believe the home is the basic foundation to the righteous. And I tell you, brethren, they try to destroy the home little by little. They tried it with television. They tried it with music, country, and rock and roll, and jazz, and disco. They tried it with football. But the devil's been trying to destroy homes, getting daddies not to pay attention to the kids, and getting mamas not to care for the kids like they ought to. Getting mamas and daddies doing their own thing instead of doing together what they're supposed to do. Don't settle over there and Titus do about the women. Said they age women likewise, they be in behavior as becometh holiness. Not false. That's not talking now about the righteousness or the holiness that you get from God. That's talking about your own life, your own holy life. Not false accusers, not giving them much wine, teachers of good things. What are they supposed to teach? They're supposed to teach the young women to be sober. Sober. My goodness, ladies, I've never seen so many flitty and unserious women my whole life. I've never seen so many, and I'm talking about Christian ladies, and all they do is a bunch of foolishness, and they speak foolish things. God said, "I want you to be sober." I want you to be sober. That don't mean just not drunk. That means get serious. To love their husband. He said, "Well, that's kind of a funny thing." No, that isn't funny. I'll tell you one weirder than that. Look at the next one. To love the children. So why you always talk about a mother's love? Listen, that Bible said you've got to teach them younger women to love their children. Well, that's weird. And he said, "What else?" To be discreet. A good woman, godly woman, got some discernment about it. Chaste. That's in conversation, in life, and everything. Keepers at home. We all know about that. Good. Obedient to their own husband, that the word of God be not blasphemed. You know why? I'll tell you what we got growing up, people. We got a bunch of girls growing up with a bunch of sassy mouths and haughty attitudes and proud looks. We got women that can't keep their cotton picking mouths shut. You know what the problem is? As is a mother, so is a daughter. The way mama's been, the way the women have been in the years gone by, the girls just growing up like boys. They act like boys, walk like them, they talk like them, they sound like them, they want to fight like them. And I tell you something, my daddy talked and told me never ever hit a woman. But he never told me what to do when a woman start acting like a man. So I just kind of worked on that myself. And I figure a woman start getting like a man around me and wants to get a little rough with me or something, I guess I'm going to hit her. I don't know what else to do, crush her to death or something. But I'm going to tell you something tonight. The foundation of the home is one of the strongest foundations. And I'm going to tell you tonight, I believe in the church, and I believe in the local church, and I believe in people supporting everything else. But the greatest foundation, I find God put that home up where he ever put a church building on the face of this earth. And any church that ever is going to be any stronger than the homes that are in that church.
Amen.
Never any church is going to have a greater relationship with Jesus Christ than the women and the husbands of that church. They're going to have a good relationship. Then that church is going to have a good relationship with Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you something tonight. If the homes aren't in order, then the church ain't going to be in order. And you talk to pastors all across this land, and one of the biggest problems and troubles that they've got in this country is home problems and family problems and feuds between a man and a wife and trouble like that. And I'm going to tell you something tonight, people. That's a foundation that needs to be kept. And if that is destroyed, what are the righteous going to do? Not only that, but you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now turn to Acts 7. And let me tell you what the Holy Ghost said in Acts 7. Acts 7 and verse 51. Stephen preaching to the men of his day, and he said, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. Like mother, like daughter, like father, like son. And in both those passages in Ezekiel and Acts, the context is rebellion. Now I'm going to tell you something tonight. I believe in preaching the devil out of young people. My wife said tonight that we didn't listen to your sermon the other night, and about every other thing you talk about was full of the devil. And she said, I kept saying full of the devil. She said, I thought maybe that just felt like the whole world closing in is all full of the devil. I said, it is all full of the devil.
Yeah.
I'm about half the Christians in it full of the devil. About half of you sitting here tonight probably just full of hell as you could get, without losing your salvation. I'm going to tell you, amen. I'll tell you something. You know what? I believe in just preaching the devil out of kids, and I believe in teaching them to do right and trying to preach at them and get them right. But I'm going to tell you something tonight. But the problem with the kids is mom and dad. That's the trouble. The problem with the kids, the reason the kids have got no standard, no conviction, and no morals, and the reason the kids have got no desire in them to live a holy and a godly life is because mom and dad are not showing them anything. They're not sick. They might say something with their lips, but their lives are entirely different. They don't show those kids by their lives what they ought to be. And they come to church and say, amen and hallelujah, and they sing the hymn, and they listen to the preacher, and they go home and live like hell, and then kids see them.
Yeah.
They see them.
Amen, brother.
All the time, the Lord, brother, asked, we need you to preach to our young people. I said, I need to preach to your young people, and I need to preach to them other babies you've got, them, the parents of them young people. Amen. A home is a foundation. When the home goes, brother, this country gone.
Amen.
When the home goes, you might as well throw the church out. You ain't going to have no church. I'll tell you something, boy. You say, what destroys the home? Pride.
Yes.
Pride destroys it. I'll tell you what destroys the home. Loudmouth moms that won't get in subjection. Won't shut her mouth, but always thinks she got to pop off and add something when she don't need to pop off and add nothing. I'll tell you what destroys the home, a slovenly, slothful father that won't take his position as head in the house and won't lead his family, give his wife spiritual guidance and won't help his kids grow in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's what destroys the home.
Yeah.
Why is it? Just lazy old pride, all it is. And I'll tell you something else from an outward thing, boy. I mean, the inward things like pride and envy destroy the home. Envy destroys. Kids get in there, and one sister, one brother gets this, the other one doesn't. And I'll tell you, boy, that old envy just pops up. Wife and husband, same way. I'll tell you what else destroys it. Old television destroys the home. Man, I can't understand. We was in one place sometime. I remember I was talking to somebody, and they said, you don't have TV? I said, no. What do you do tonight? Just sit around and stare at each other? We talk. I mean, you'd be amazed people don't even know there's something they could talk about. I guess they got nothing to talk about. You don't mean what else? What could they talk about if they wasn't watching all that juicy stuff on TV? Amen. I could talk about the Lord or something. I don't know. And then I'll tell you what else goes on in the home, man. You're not going to like this or y'all. I don't even care one way or the other. I preached this one time. Ain't nobody liked it, but it don't make me no different. I think what destroys the home, organized sports destroys the home.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to tell you something. I mean, all the way from pro football down to Little League. You talk about destroying them. See, I coached Little League for a year, and I coached AYSO soccer for a year. And I'll tell you something. If that don't destroy a home, I wouldn't know what that. Them kids never home. Always at practice. Mom's always got to rush and get them here, get them there. The miss Wednesday night prayer meeting. Sometimes they'll miss a Sunday night because they got a game on a Sunday afternoon. They're too tired. All kinds of stuff. We'll just destroy the home. I tell you something, I'm not against sport. They need to get it back out in the sand lot where it belongs. Forget the rest of it.
Yeah.
I don't like organized sports in a church. You do what you want to do. But I think it's just fool of the devil. Well, listen, I preached that thing up in New Hampshire somewhere, and the preacher got up, and I just get on a little bit like I am now. Preacher got up, I preached 2 hours, and now that whole 2 hour message, don't get worried, folks, you don't know what time it is right now. I found that whole 2 hour message, I might have spent 3 minutes on organized sports. Got all done, and that preacher got up and said, boy, I really got convicted. It's about our basketball team. And he said, you know, I didn't like it last year when we organized it. He said, I'll tell you what happened. He said, they practice on Tuesday night and Thursday night, and they have a game a lot of times on Friday and Saturday. And he said, you know, I know them men never miss a practice for that basketball team. But he said, boy, when it came time for visitation, nobody ever showed up.
Yeah.
Amen. I've been in churches, man, where they shut off a street preaching for a week or two because they got an organized game. They had to play the game. They couldn't go preach. Boy, I said, there's something wrong with that. I tell you what, you want to have a game, get together, man, and you know, have your church fellowship and get together and have the church play, you know, you play a game amongst yourselves or invite another church and play a game amongst you, but throw the leagues out the window and the organized sports and all the practice out the window because it ain't going to do nothing for God. Or you know, you're going to wind up playing teams for that represent beer companies. Or you know, you're going to wind up playing teams that represent all kinds of church. Or you know, you're going to wind up playing all kinds of junk. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I don't know if you like that or not, but I give it to you. That destroys the home. Why, listen, I remember one time it was Little League Baseball, and when that got over, it was soccer. When that got over, it was basketball, and back to Little League Baseball. Three sports took up the whole cotton picking year. Kids don't do good in school. They don't read their Bible. They don't study. They don't pray. They don't do nothing but sports. You live in a country where sports is a god. A god. I almost wish I'd have saved that point a little later on, but in the week, but I'm going to hit it again anyway. And I'm going to tell you something else that destroys. I'll tell you something else that destroys a home, and that's a power struggle among the parents.
Yes.
I'll tell you something. There ought not be no power struggle in the home. There should never be any fight about who is the head of this house.
Yes.
You say, well, Christ said, no, you're wrong. That little plaque is just, it ain't right. Amen.
Amen.
It is Christ, the God, the head of Christ, and Christ, the head of the man, and the man, the head of the woman.
Yes.
It isn't Christ, the unseen, the head of the sound. Like that ain't it. That ain't it. Isn't it? It's that man, the head of the woman. If you don't like that, that's your problem. But I'll tell you what happened, boys. A lot of times they get that old power struggle, they begin to use the children. Pitiful. You're one against one another. Parents use them against one another. Why is that? The sin, boys. It's so heavy. I'll tell you, the foundation of the home being destroyed not just from without, but from within. And not only that, but the kids. But I'll tell you, kids just full of the devil. There, I said it again. But you know something? You kids really full. You know what you do? You know what you do? Say, oh, not them sweet looking. Yeah, them sweet looking things. They just full of the devil. And you know something? You know what they do? They come along there and they want to do something. They go ask mama. And mama says, no. They go ask daddy. And daddy says, yes. Or they'll pit one parent again. I'll tell you what that is. That's just a bunch of old hellishness, boy. That's sin. And that'll destroy a home quicker than anything I know of. I'll tell you something else. Destroy a home. No love.
Yeah.
No love.
Yeah.
You know, Bible said that when ladies will teach them younger girls how to love their husband and how to love the people. Now, I tell you, you can't teach them with your mouth something like that. You got to show them what that is. I'll tell you something else, I'm going to hurt. Bible says, love your wife. Love your wife. Give them a flower once in a while. Amen. Tell them you love them once in a while. Hug them once. I don't like a hug. But
hug them once in a while.
My wife's always trying to give me a hug, you know. I do it once in a while. But hug them once in a while.
I'm not a real lovey-dovey character. Not only one preacher's point, but I'll tell you what you need to do. You need to get a hold of them once in a while,
and you need to hug them and go,
I love you.
Daughter just hugged and said, I love you, honey.
And I'm glad. You're my darling. Glad you're my wife. But don't be like my brother-in-law said. Told his wife when I was well. If I had to marry somebody, it might as well be you. That ain't quite the way to do it, you know. I mean, I got me another preacher friend. He told his wife, said, you ever tell me that you love me? He said, honey, said, I told you the day we got married, I love you, and if I ever change my mind, I'll let you know. But that ain't what you want to do. What you want to do, listen, you got to show love and consideration in that house to one another. You got a country full of kids growing up, and the reason the boy plays high, and the reason the kids don't know how to love anybody is because they never saw love in a home. You raise a kid up in a house that doesn't show well, and that child will have a hard time learning how to show well.
That's right.
Only need to show.
Marriage.
The home is the foundation that you destroy. And I want you to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. We just kind of a top parade tonight, whatever that means. I read that in a French book one time. Hebrews chapter 10. And I want you to look at verse 25. That's it. The Hebrews half the time, nobody knows where they are. Amen?
But we're going to apply this
to us. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaken. The assembling of ourselves together, as a matter of some is, but exhort them.
One another, and so much the more,
as you see, the day approaches. And the day approaches.
We need to be exhorting and assembling ourselves together.
There was that's a local church. That's a foundation.
Oh, it's a foundation. Listen, you get into Ephesians 4, you send it down there, and you say, bless captivity, captive, and let them on high into the gate gifts of men. And the Son of David, prophets, and apostles, and prophets, and teachers, and some evangelists,
some pastors, and teachers.
And I want you know where you find those fellows?
In a local church.
You'll find them anywhere. I tell you something right now.
I mean, I'm
reading the body of Christ, but I'm going to tell you something. You need to get in a local church, and you need to support it, and you need to help it. You need to put your money in there.
They talk about Titus. I don't care where, one way or another, you stand on Titus. I'm just going to put it to you like this. Listen, brother, you ain't going to go down to McDonald's and order 3 Big Macs and 2 slacks of fries and a Coke and go over and pay Burger King when you get it. People are absolutely ignorant.
They're really dumb about that stuff.
Oh, it's this, they come to church,
they get a blessing, or get their pants kicked or something, you know. But they come in, they get what they need here, and they go out and put their money all over. Mm-hmm.
Ought to go here. Ought to go where you're planted.
And ought to go where you get the money.
Ought to put the money in this place and support it. You know, ain't nobody going to support it.
But it needs more of your money.
Needs your time.
Listen, you don't support a local
church just by showing up on Sunday and Wednesday. You need to put in some of your own personal time and go out and witness them and inviting people to church and passing out tracts and doing things like that. In that way, you are supporting the institution that God set up before the local church.
Then
you can go out and do that, you know.
Me too.
Well, I can't get out and walk, but
get on the phone.
Yeah. I'd be too embarrassed to talk to people.
You're not embarrassed to gossip about everybody.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. Old brother Sondra got him in a church over there in Texas. There wasn't nobody showing up.
He got out in that church and nobody showed up.
So I said, well, I'll tell you what,
they went about 5 months and said,
we just going to disband the church.
We're going to sell it, and we're going to take the money, and we're going to put it in the food. The local people.
They ain't doing right about that.
You come along there, they said, we're going to take a boat.
And you had to be,
have a tenant for 6 months, or within the last 6 months, in order to go. And so they took out a boat, and was only, I don't know how y'all do it, making a difference one way or another, that's how they did it. And he went up and they're
going to
walk God.
What's the preacher in one?
Well, they both. They did sell them. You're there. Listen, and
the stupid court didn't know any better but to stop the whole thing. I mean, it's idiotic, it's really dumb.
But I tell you what, come along there.
What the problem is, listen, you got no right to holler when these stores are closed down by the government, and the government runs everybody out, and so they're closing you up, unless you preach and speak like we carry it, or unless you stop this kind of stuff and stop doing this, we're going to close you up. You ain't got any right to holler about the devil's crowd coming in and closing you down if you don't support this place.
Amen.
There's no right to holler, amen.
Born all kinds of boys raising up all over the country.
About, I don't know how much they ever supported the local church.
And I'm gonna tell you, you just wonder.
You pray you could this is where you think God is. You pray you couldn't worship God if there wasn't a building.
And you probably could.
Amen.
Local church is a place of fellowship. Of course, it's kind of hard to fellowship with one another when you've been cutting each other down. Amen.
Boy, I hear.
I tell you, boy, the Lord used me. I got up there in a meeting. It was called the World Council of Poultry Street Prophets and Street Gang Preachers Fellowship. My friend up there got in the church that's in a.
You all live here. He got in the church that's a chicken coop,
a converted chicken coop.
What do you say?
He got in that old chicken coop and we and I was supposed to be the main speaker and got up there and. Trying to pray. I was sitting there before and I said, they were singing, and I looked over to myself and said, boy, look at him. Man, he ain't got no joy of the Lord. I said, look at that guy. He ain't having a hard time singing. He's all preaching. And I said, man, look at that fellow. Boy, he's really fine. He's trying to act like everything's right. There ain't nothing wrong. The Lord said, look at you.
And,
look at you. I said, yeah, but Lord, I'm the main spirit. Said, yeah, I know you are. You just told me that.
The main speaker.
So you know by the time when the guys got us,
and what had been happening was we'd all four or five how many was we all been talking about one another for a whole conflict a year.
I mean good friends have been talking about one another and sitting there and all that envy and gossip and everything caught up with it.
And sitting there and boy one guy got up he said, well I can't go around the brain. He went about 20 minutes bawling and crying and confessing and asking forgiving. Another guy did it, you know, and I couldn't say no longer and going out and confession, you know, sorry.
And I think God really gave us a good time of fellowship the rest of that week, but I'll tell you, boy, we didn't have none until that happened.
The local church is a place of fellowship. Now, I didn't say it's a place to eat food,
and I don't care if you eat.
I mean, I like fish fries,
little bacon or something, but I mean, I like,
you know, I'm all for getting together and eating.
But that's not fellowship, Steve.
That's not fellowship.
That's eating.
That's food. You know, some Baptists can never fellowship once it's around a plate.
Yeah.
Amen. And they sure can't fellowship around the offering plate, so it has to be the other time. Amen. Some Baptists can't fellowship once it's around. I'm going to tell you something. Your fellowship is not around the food. Your fellowship is talking about Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Talking about his life. And talking about his book and what he's done for you. That's what your fellowship is. That's what your fellowship is around.
And the local church is a place you can do that.
Yeah.
The devil of the world and the flesh destroy the home, and then they destroy the church. And I tell you something, when that old local church goes, it's goodbye, Charlie. I see the foundation. And I want you to know something else. Back there in our text, in Psalm 11, I want you to look back there. In verse 1. Back there in the text in verse 1. In verse 1 it says, in the Lord put I my trust. In the Lord put I my trust. And I'll tell you what it said in Colossians. I was trying to find it here. Give it, but you don't have to turn there. I'll just read it at the same time. But in Colossians 2 it says this, verse 6, ye therefore receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as you've been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. You know what I see all across this country? I see people, Christians, who don't walk a life of faith and trust in God. I never seen so many worrying and fretting Christians in my life. I never seen so many people that just worry all the time and are constantly worrying about this and worrying about that and griping about this and wondering about that. Am I going to get to do this? And am I going to get to do that? How come this? And oh God, what's going to happen about this? And what?
And I'll tell you something, David said, in the Lord put I my trust. And one of the foundations of the righteous is a walk of faith and trust in God. When you got saved and washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, you got saved by faith in His blood. You got justified. You got saved by putting faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And He said, as you receive Him, walk in it.
Amen.
You can't walk a life of faith. You keep on seeing this and see that and happen on this and look at that. And God said, walk, the just shall live by faith. That doesn't just mean that you're going to be saved and have eternal life, but that means that after you're saved, the way you live, the just shall live by faith.
Amen.
And Christians in this country don't know nothing about faith. They thrust money in their bank account. Boy, they don't give when God says give. Because they're looking at their bank account and they say, well, God, how can I give? Because I got this coming up and that coming up and I ain't got no money. Well, I'll tell you, we got that truck out there. That's a blessing. We had us an old 67 Dodge van, had no paint on it. The air conditioning.
Do
You won't do it, but you won't walk by faith. And I can't understand that. I tell you, sir,
some of the things I ask you to do
after you're saved doesn't seem to me like taking near as much faith as it does to trust in the blood of somebody you ain't never seen and never seen it, and you couldn't even explain how the thing washes you and you cross it in to get to heaven. I can't.
I believe all that.
And I die, my money ain't gonna do me no good. He said, I'm gonna buy anybody else, and I'm gonna put my trust in the Lord. We need to back it back to the old foundation of the walk of faith and trust in God. And I'll tell you something, when them hard times come, you better be used to trust in God. Buddy. You're not gonna have it your way today when the hard times come.
That's
right. Amen. You're gonna go there, hold the pickle, hold the lettuce, or whatever it is. You're not gonna get it like you want it. You're gonna get what you get. You don't like it, you can just eat the bugs. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so you better be used in this country to walk by faith
and trusting God, because one day he might.
I mean, it might not be a choice. One day he just may have to be. And I'm going to tell you something now. Nothing going to be the foundation of a godly life. Now I don't understand all I'm saying here. But I'm going to tell you something now. Titus said that we're looking for our blessed hope and glorious appearing, our great God and Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, what that does, that teaches us to deny ungodliness and so forth and so on. And it teaches us to live soberly and godly and righteously in this present evil world. You know what's wrong with Christians? Don't live a godly life.
Go ahead.
And now all this country, you know what they're doing?
They're crying out all over this country.
Christians all over this country, Bible believers, they're crying out all over the place. They're going in the place and trying to pull the kids out of the city. They're going all over the place.
Amen! God's going to bring judgment! It's coming down!
They just laugh and mocking just like they did Lot. Why? Because Lot and Shem and his invested righteous soul with their filthy deeds there, and that's what you do.
The Christian today has no power! Well, okay, sir, you put a man on a railroad track,
and that was 30 years. Woo-hoo! And boy, by that time, he's looking down there, he's going to get off the track. Because he knows there's some power behind that whistle.
Yes.
But you put a Christian out there, and preaching away, and living like a devil, and a Christian out there, say, well, he come to church, you all really get saved. And sitting there, and smoking a cigarette, and dipping a snuff, and watching the television, and they ain't got no power. They don't live a righteous godly life. The foundation destroyed, the righteous can't do that, the wicked can't do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, boy, we need some godly people.
I have always thought about it, but I've never seen one.
Yeah.
I know you're not going to be perfect. Ain't nobody telling anybody to be perfect. But Peter said, boy, he said, you've escaped the corruption that's in the world through the lust, and you just keep going back to that old lust of the flesh. And I want this, and I want that, got to have it, and don't live. Go live in God's life. And I'm going to tell you something tonight, people. They can take my Bible, they can destroy my home. They can take my place of worship and fellowship. And I'll tell you something else. They might even be able to destroy me to the point where I couldn't trust God. But the Bible said, nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure. Having this seed, the Lord knoweth them that are healed. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. I tell you what, you can take everything away from me you want to take away. You say, I'm going to take your Bible, take it. Say, I'm going to take your hymn book, take it. Say, I'm going to take your voice, take it. I'll take your family, take it. And I'll tell you what, there's no way you can take away my foundation. I'm in Jesus Christ the Lord, and He's in me, and I'm in Him, and we're one. We're in together, and we're one in the Father, and we're going to be like that for eternity, and nothing you can do. Destroy the body, cut it off limb by limb. But I'm going to tell you something tonight. I'll go home and be with Jesus Christ. You can't destroy my foundation.
Amen.
You might be able to destroy all these other things. You might run me out to the woods. They may run me out for worship by a creek somewhere. But I'm going to tell you something tonight. They can never take the foundation. The Bible said, other foundation no man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. And on Christ the solid rock I stand, all over the ground is sinking sand. My rock is not as their rock. I've got a sure foundation, steadfast, a hope that's anchored in Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you something, the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Listen, all around you, in days to come, before the Lord comes, if he doesn't come soon, all around you, in the days to come, you're going to see foundations destroyed right away. You're going to see the homes split up. You're going to see the government take the home. You're going to see them close the churches. You're going to see them put the preachers in jail. You're going to see them do all kinds of things you never ever thought you'd see happen in this country. But I'll tell you, it's going to happen. And when it happens, I want you to rest assured that one foundation they can't take.
Yes.
I'm saved, boy, and I'm in
Jesus.
And I'll tell you something, they may take them kids. Boy, you better be trusting God now. Because you really going to have to trust him later.
Yes.
He said the foundation destroyed, what can the righteous do? I'll tell you something, people, being saved, that's an eternal foundation. That's something you never have to worry about for eternity. But living in this life here and now, it takes more than that. It takes trusting and walking with God. It takes devotion and reading your Bible and praying and getting close to God. It takes supporting one another. Listen, I've always been kind of a loner. And I always believed all I ever needed was God. But I'm going to tell you something tonight, boy, there are times when it's good to have the breath. There are times when it's good to have somebody to lean on, somebody to talk with, that you can see and put your arm around and pray with. And I'll tell you, some people, you're lying by heart. The preacher said the other night, well, as this thing winds down, we're going to be clothed in a crowd with some people who we don't really care for. But if they're saved and love God, brethren, we're going to have fellowship around Jesus Christ. Sure are. And get to that. Foundation might be destroyed. What kind of foundation you got? Are you just saved, just kind of sitting on it, man, never done nothing with it? Your home, what's that like? And kids, what are they seeing the parents? You kids, how are you to your parents? You Christians, you get up in the morning and spend time with God. What's the first thing you think to do in the morning? What do you do at night? David said, I prevent the morning watches. He said, I prevent the night watches. The first thing he did, he got up. The last thing he did, he went to bed. He didn't spend it with anybody else. He didn't even spend it in the good book. He spent it with the Bible. Spent it with God. Meditated on the law of God, he said. Foundation. He destroyed the Lord. God had done the best to know to do. I'm miserable at best. Not really a very good preacher, Lord. But Father, I pray you take this message. Touch the hearts of the people. God, everywhere I look, I see Christians that don't believe in my person. I see people that are washed and bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. And they never spend time with it. I see Christians that put everything above God and above their Savior. I see Christians that won't support the church, that have fallen by the wayside and getting angry with God. Everywhere I look, Lord, I see Christians. Lord, who believe the Bible, but they never spend any time with it. I see Christians who have knowledge in the Bible, but they don't live a good, righteous life. Lord, this foundation is important. We got a generation of Christians coming up, Lord, that are lukewarm, just indifferent to things of God, because mom and daddy's religion is not at home what it is at church. Lord, help us. Oh, Lord, we ask this week that you do something. give us a meeting here, meet with us, and give us a revival. Lord, help us to be honest with you, to get the sin out, to confess, to turn to you. I pray, Lord, there might be a child or a man or a woman that's here tonight without Jesus Christ. They've realized tonight, Father, that's the only foundation that's going to last. The Bible said the earth will melt with the fervent heat and heaven to roll back like a scroll. The Bible said heaven and earth will pass away. My word will not pass away. And the Lamb of God is the only sure foundation. Oh, Lord God, I pray tonight, Father, there's one here without Jesus Christ, they might trust you tonight and have a sure foundation. To lose family and health and friends and wealth and everything in this life, they'll never lose faith. I'm thankful for that tonight, Lord. I take these words and plant them in the hearts of your people. I ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let's stand, heads bowed, eyes closed. Sister, here on the piano.